Welcome to Hardwood Handicappers with Zach Cohen, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Zachary Cohen, VSiN.com senior editor, with another episode of Hardwood Handicappers. Hardwood Handicappers is sponsored by Better Picks, the fantasy app that turns your basketball takes into cash. Download the Better app and use code VSiNPOD to get $10 free. No deposit needed. That's VSiNPOD, VSINPOD. We have a link for that in the description. We're going to start off today by talking about what we saw last night, which was an awesome game between the Knicks and the Spurs. I mean, New York goes out and wins the NBA Cup in Las Vegas, winning 124-113 in a game that I thought just had a lot of energy, a real championship feel. And I know that there's a lot of people that have kind of, you know, I don't know, hated on the NBA Cup and asked why we should care, why the players should care. But it's very clear in watching these teams play, they care about this tournament. I know that there's, you know, not a lot at stake. You know, maybe there should be some type of tie-in for, you know, home court in the playoffs or a draft pick or something, you know, they could add to maybe give these teams a little bit more to play for. But clearly the money's working because these teams are celebrating these wins like they're winning the NBA Finals. And you even saw it in the semifinals. I mentioned it heading into last game. Like, the Spurs celebrated that win over the Thunder like they won a playoff series. Like, these players care. The atmosphere was great. I think that everybody in the crowd cared. And, you know, you saw the celebration from New York after. Like, winning a tournament is winning a tournament. This is definitely working for the NBA. Maybe they're going to try it outside of Vegas next year, although this year's atmosphere was much better than last year's. But I think the overall, the NBA Cup has been a huge win for the league. I mean, we're talking about NBA basketball in the middle of December when it is NFL season. I think as a basketball fan, it's been exciting to watch. And I think that, you know, hopefully casual fans are enjoying it as well. But yeah, it was an impressive performance for the Knicks. They scored 129.2 points per 100 possessions in the game. For context, Denver is number one in the NBA at 126 points per 100 for the entire season. So a special offensive performance for New York in a game with high stakes. And I think that that's what you hang your hat on if you're the Knicks looking at, you know, the postseason picture this year. Like, you are a special offensive team. You're number two in the league in offensive rating over the course of the entire season. And defensively, like, you were getting stops when you needed to. In that fourth quarter, I thought, you know, San Antonio had an opportunity to pull away. New York started to contest shots a little bit better. They started to get their hands on a lot of the basketballs, and they just created havoc overall. I thought that the Knicks, you know, defensive effort in the fourth quarter was everything that you could have been hoping for if you're Mike Brown. I mean, all year long, this is a team that has kind of sacrificed, you know, guarding the three ball at the expense of just stopping drivers and doing a better job of contesting shots at the rim. And, you know, that has hurt them at times because teams that shoot the ball really, really well can hurt New York. But I thought in this game, we kind of saw all of it come together in the fourth quarter where they were doing a good job of clogging up lanes. They were contesting shots. And I just think overall, like, this is a team that I think over the last 10 games is a top five team in the league in terms of defensive rating. And I'm not sure that that's their upside. I think that maybe it's a little bit worse than that, but I do think this is a team that is very much a top three team offensively and has the potential to play like a top 10 team defensively. And that is the statistical profile of a potential NBA champion. So you're looking really good if you're a Knicks fan, if you're a Knicks backer, and you have the Knicks to go on to, you know, win the Eastern Conference and maybe even win the NBA title. You've seen now that this Knicks team can absolutely do that if they stay healthy. I think that that's a major if, because I think that last night's game, one of the major X factors was Mitchell Robinson, who just did a monster job on the offensive boards, as he always does. And in that fourth quarter, New York took 12 more shots than San Antonio. And that was kind of a testament to the work that he was doing on the offensive boards, whether it was him pulling them down himself or just kind of taking Wemby out of plays, because Wemby had to focus a lot of his attention on keeping Robinson off the glass. And that just kind of changed everything for the Knicks. But then outside of that, I mean, it was a major performance from OG Anunoby, 28 points, 9 rebounds. That was a player that Kelly Bidlin and I highlighted as like an X factor in this game on the Tuesday show. Like, I thought that Anunoby was going to be big defensively, which he was, but offensively he was knocking down a lot of threes, was scoring at the rim, and just did a really good job of scoring efficiently and kind of stepping up in a game where Jalen Brunson definitely struggled a bit with his jumper. I mean, he did end up finishing with a decent stat line, but he needed to be great Anunoby, and he was. And should also give a shout out to Tyler Kolek, who comes off the bench in 20 minutes, finishes as a plus 14, and has 14 points, 5 rebounds, and 5 assists. This is a guy that the Knicks obviously drafted at a decent spot, you know, 2 years ago, and he's a player that has a lot of upside, a lot of talent off the bench, and you're just a really good kind of organizer of the offense, but also a player that can knock down some threes, can get to the basket, and is a feistier player than he's given credit for. And this is a guy that it kind of seemed like they were really close to giving up on before the year. I mean, there was the, when they brought in Malcolm Brogdon, there was talk of them having to cut Kolek potentially in order to keep Brogdon around. And they ended up, you know, making the right decision in keeping Kolek. But now they're seeing that they made the right decision in drafting him, because Kolek gave them big minutes off the bench in a big game, stepping in admirably for, you know, Deuce McBride, who was out. Landry Shamet, who was out, who has also been playing well this season. But yeah, just overall, like a really good performance in the backup point guard, who I think is going to play a major role for this Knicks team moving forward. But yeah, I think that this was, you know, a really, really good performance from New York. I've said it all year. I think that the Knicks are the team to beat in the Eastern Conference. I believe the Pistons have a pretty good argument there, because they are, you know, 21-5. They played New York really close last year in the playoffs, and that was without Isaiah Stewart being healthy. But I just kind of think, you're looking at the Eastern Conference pecking order, I have the Knicks a hair above the Pistons. I think that Detroit would probably benefit from making another move, like at the deadline. I don't know what that might be, because I don't think it's going to be Lauri Markkanen at this point. I think that they're going to need to make something smaller, but I do think that they're a slight move or small move away from kind of being on that level playing field with the Knicks. Other side of the coin, it's the Spurs. You know, losing the game, but, you know, in a really impressive fashion, in my opinion. I mean, they opened up almost a 10-point lead at some point. Like, I think this is a San Antonio team that we've kind of said all year long, like, there's potential for this team to be great. And over the last couple of days, they've now shown that potential, it's coming before we know it. Like, this is a team that has three of the better guards in the league when it comes to dribble penetration, between De'Aaron Fox, Stephon Castle, and Dylan Harper. Like, what these guys are able to do off the dribble is just spectacular. Like, it was really troubling a Knicks team that is, like, solid defensively when it comes to individual performers and perimeter defense. There are a lot of guys on this Knicks team that can guard in the perimeter, but, you know, the Spurs guys were just getting by them at will. And I think that it was a really special performance by Dylan Harper. He knocked down 5 threes in the game. And in a way, like, that performance from Harper makes you kind of throw away all of the talk of Giannis Antetokounmpo to the Spurs, because I think that the one question mark with this team is how you're going to find a way to get Castle and Harper to play together. Can they shoot the three ball well enough? I think that both guys have shown at times this year that eventually they'll be able to shoot the three well enough to play with one another. I actually question, if anything, is if De'Aaron Fox is here for the long term, because if I'm the Spurs and I'm a Spurs fan or part of that front office, I want to see Castle and Harper out there as much as humanly possible. And I will also say, like, one of the weird things about the game to me was that we kind of talked about this yesterday on the podcast. Like, the Knicks had opportunities to go up big in the first quarter and third quarter when Wembanyama was on the bench. They actually played better when Wemby was on the court, and Cornette was a plus 7 in his, you know, 23 minutes on the floor. So New York actually just, you know, didn't play that well when Wemby was sitting. So I thought that that was really interesting. But Wemby, actually, we did find out after the game, I believe he was dealing with the loss of his grandmother, so had a lot to going on in the game. You did see him at times emotional on the bench, so maybe not exactly fair to judge him. But I still think that overall, while the Spurs lost, it was a game that I think showed that this team is very much legitimate. If this, you know, win over the Thunder didn't already do that. By the way, I said the largest lead was almost double digits. It was 11. So they did stretch that lead to 11 at one point. And yeah, just, I think a really strong week if you're a Spurs fan. And I think that this San Antonio team, I don't really know if I view them as an actual NBA title contender, but definitely a team that could win a playoff series in the West. And nobody's going to want to play them in the Western Conference, including the Oklahoma City Thunder. And this is a team that has proven itself to be very, very good, and if not elite, you know, just outside of that top tier of, you know, OKC, Houston, and Denver. One other small takeaway from this game, and it kind of looks ahead to the futures market, which I wanted to do a little bit because there's only 2 games tonight, not a lot to talk about, and I did want to talk about futures a little bit, but I've kind of talked about a lot of the markets this week, but the one I haven't mentioned is Coach of the Year, and I think it ties in really nicely with what we saw in the NBA Cup, because Mike Brown is currently available at 50-1. to win this award. And I think that that's absolutely insane, given everything that we've seen to start this season. I know the Knicks are 2.5 games back of the Pistons, but it would not shock me at all if New York ends up being the number one seed in the Eastern Conference. And if they end up doing that, I think Brown's going to get a lot of flowers in this market. I mean, you're talking about a major market, a lot of eyeballs always on the Knicks. And I think that narrative-wise, like, a lot of people question the decision to fire Tom Thibodeau and hire Mike Brown. It was actually something that I was always high on. If you read the NBA betting guide, like, I thought that it was a really high upside move with not a lot at stake there, because I think that Brown is a really good offensive mind and also a sharp defensive coach. And I think that if worst case scenario, if what he tried to install was not working, he could have just gone back to doing what Tibbs was doing. I didn't think that it was, you know, that crazy of a decision to move on from Tibbs and see if there was something better out there. And so far it has been better. I mean, you're talking about a team that went from offensive rating of 117.1 in 2024-2025 last season under Tom Thibodeau, now up to 121.0, number two in the league, as I mentioned before. And defensive rating has only come down a little bit. They were 113.7 last season. They're at 114.1 right now. But I mentioned over the last 10 games, they've been better defensively. So, like, there's a real chance that they end up being much better in offensive rating and right on par in defensive rating. And the offense has just looked better in terms of the eye test, too. I know there's still been a lot of Jalen Brunson hero ball. That's because he's one of the best players on the planet. You're not going to go away from something that works so well from you. You just have to kind of figure out what you want to do outside of that. And I think that so far this season, we've seen Karl-Anthony Towns and Mikal Bridges and OG Anunoby empowered a little bit more. We've seen way more trust in the bench. I mean, Jordan Clarkson came in and played some huge minutes for them last night. I just think this is a team that is firing on all cylinders. And I think that the one real question I have is, has Mark Daigneault done enough to kind of lap the field? I mean, this OKC team is 24-2. Obviously, another team that is like a juggernaut in terms of net rating, like they were last year. And, you know, maybe he ends up winning again. But I don't think that Brown's odds at 50-1 right now accurately reflect where he is, like, in the pecking order of coaches of the year right now, or where he will be, because I think there's a real chance that the Knicks end up winning 55-plus games. And if he does that, I think he's going to be very live in this market. And look, you're talking about a guy that now he has an NBA Cup on his resume. He's done more in, you know, what, 30 games than Tom Thibodeau did in 5 years in New York. But I do think that there's some value in Brown at 50-1. Want to bet smarter this holiday season? VSiN has the perfect gift for you or the sports bettor in your life. Right now, you could take advantage of our holiday special and get VSiN Pro access through May 1st for just $79. That gives you everything we do, including daily best bets from VSiN hosts and guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop tools and weekly wide receiver cornerback matchup edges, 24/7 video and full show replays on the VSiN Watch app, and complete coverage of every major sport through the spring, from football and hoops to March Madness, the NFL Draft, and the Masters. Plus, you'll get all of our postseason betting guides and expert picks, including the college football playoff guide that's out now, and the Super Bowl. Don't miss this limited time holiday special. Head to vsin.com/subscribe and unwrap your betting edge today. That's vsin.com/subscribe. All right. Well, we did enough recapping of the NBA Cup. I know it was an awesome tournament. I was really excited to watch it. I thought last night's game capped it off really nicely, but we have some games for tonight to get into. Like I said, only two games, but I do have two picks. So I have a pick on each of these games. It starts with the Cavaliers at the Bulls. Cavaliers laying 4.5. Total's 241.5. Interesting game already, because Cleveland is going to be without Evan Mobley for the next 2 to 4 weeks. That's a big injury. This team has already been struggling a little bit. I mean, I've just talked about the Knicks and Pistons being at the top of the Eastern Conference right now. Cavaliers were supposed to be there. They have been a little bit disappointing this season. The offense hasn't been as good. Defensively, I think that Mobley has slipped a little bit, which is why it's a little surprising that he is where he is on the defensive player of the odds market, defensive player of the year market. Like, he's still, I believe, seventh on the odds board, and don't think he's been nearly good enough to, you know, warrant that, and is now going to be missing some time, so might not even hit the minimum game requirement. But overall, I still expect Cleveland to handle the business here. That is not the play I have in this game. It's a lean to Cleveland -4.5 for me, not a play. But I will say, like, the luxury of having both Jared Allen and Evan Mobley is that when one of those two guys is out, you could pretty easily slide one of them to the five, and you have some small ball fours on this roster that you can trust to play some big minutes, whether that's DeAndre Hunter or Dean Wade. I think that they're in pretty good shape there. And Jalen Tyson is a player that I really like that plays, you know, a little bit of shooting guard, a little bit of small forward for them. He'll slot in at the small forward spot and play a little bit more. And Lonzo Ball can play a little bit more because he has the size to play one through three. So I think that the Cavaliers are going to be fine in a game like this playing against a really bad Bulls team. But the play that I actually am making in this game is Darius Garland to go over 27.5 points and assists, which is available at minus 120 at BetMGM as of recording. We're recording this at 9:30 a.m. Eastern, obviously Wednesday, December 17th. But I think this is a really good spot for Garland. This has kind of been a season from hell for him. I mean, like the foot stuff that has bothered him now for the toe stuff, it's just been still bothering him. But like, he is coming off the best game of the season so far. He had 26 points and 9 assists in a game against the Hornets last game. And if you're going to play well against someone, it's probably going to come against teams like the Hornets and the Bulls. This Chicago team is number 2 in the NBA in pace of play and 25th in the league in defensive rating. So they're going to play fast. They're going to play bad defense. That is great for an offensive-minded player. And I'll also add that Chicago is a bottom 10 team in the league at defending pick-and-roll ball handlers. Garland, while he, you know, might split some of that duty with Donovan Mitchell every single night, will run a ton of pick-and-roll for this Cavaliers team. Also, this Chicago team is the worst team in the league at defending at the rim, and Garland is a player that can get to the basket pretty much at will. So while this has been a really bad year for Garland and his offensive struggles have been a big part of the team's overall struggles, I think he's going to have a really big game tonight. And if you have to take this at 28.5, I think I'd still do it. I think there's a really good chance that he ends up having 24, 25 points here and just needs to do a little bit of work as a passer. And I think that he's going to do that just because he is one of the most gifted playmakers in the entire NBA. So lean on the Cavaliers -4.5. Also, I'd say I lean over on the total of 241.5. I just think that no Mobley, that is a good defender out of the lineup. And now you're all of a sudden talking about a game that's going to be one in the backcourt for either one of these teams and will be played at a, you know, rapid pace. I think that you're going to see a game that is very high scoring. But the one official play that I have, the one play that I would suggest that you make is the Garland play. I would not suggest the others. Second game of the night, last game of the night, sees the Timberwolves hosting the Grizzlies. Minnesota is a 7.5-point favorite in this game. Total is 230.5. Unfortunately, no Mike Conley for the Timberwolves still, and Anthony Edwards is questionable. And that kind of goes into my thinking here that Memphis can keep this game close, and that is why the Grizzlies +7.5 at -108 is one of my best bets for tonight. I think that there's a really interesting trend heading into this game that I'm a little bit worried about, and it's that Memphis is 2-18 straight up and 4-16 against the spread when facing teams that average 116 or more points per game under Tomas Isolo. Also under Isolo, they're 1-20 straight up and 5-16 against the spread when facing teams with winning records. Hopefully that changes. Like, this has been a team that has not been trustworthy whatsoever against good basketball teams. But I do think that Memphis is starting to find a little something. And I think it's hard to kind of look into the stats too much because, I mean, if you look at the overall season-long numbers, Memphis is number 10 in the league right now in adjusted defensive rating. But they are without Zach Edey for the next couple of weeks. And Edey, number 1 in the league in defensive EPM right now, has been a monster protecting the rim for this Grizzlies team. So the defense is going to take a major hit over the next couple of weeks. However, the offense is going to continue to be play better. I mean, they're only 22nd in the NBA in offensive rating right now. But over the last two games, since they got Ja Morant back, they have an offensive rating of 124.1, which would be right near the top of the league if you're talking about the entire season. So I do think that the Grizzlies are going to look a little bit better over these next couple of games with Morant in the lineup. I thought that it was a really encouraging performance to see what he did last game. In the win over the Clippers, I know that they've kind of just beat up on the Clippers all season long, and it feels like all of the wins that they have this year have been against Los Angeles, but it was nice to see them win a game with Morant in the lineup, to see Cam Spencer also play well off the bench, because that was somebody that really got going when Morant was out. So the fact that he's able to continue to shine with Morant in there is big. This is just a team that needs to play a little bit better inside, but I think that if you want to have a problem at the center position defensively, this is one of the teams you want to have it against, because Gobert is not going to kill you on offense. He's going to kill you on defense. Like, he's one of the best defensive players in the league. But look, you're not going to be trying to score against him that much when you don't have Edey out there. So this is really going to become a perimeter game. And I think that the Grizzlies are going to be able to hold their own here. So I think this is a spot where 7.5 is a lot of points, especially, you know, if for whatever reason Ant ends up not playing. But I think that even if Ant is out there, this is a game that I think that Memphis keeps somewhat close. And under Chris Finch, I should also throw out that, you know, the Timberwolves are just 23-37-1 against the spread when playing teams with winning percentages between 40 and 49. So this is a team that under Finch has kind of played down to their competition, has not been trustworthy whatsoever in terms of like just taking care of their business, stepping on the throats of bad teams. They are going to let them hang around, I believe, here, especially you're talking about no Conley. That is, you know, your organizer on offense. So you're not really necessarily equipped to take advantage of an unorganized defense without your organizer. So I think this is a game where they're really going to miss Conley, even though, you know, they've gotten some minutes, good minutes from guys like Bones Highland at the point guard spot. I think they're going to miss the veteran presence of Mike Conley here. Before we wrap up, it's time to put your hoops IQ to the test with Better Picks. Download the Better app and pick more or less on player stats like point assists and rebounds and track your lineup in real time. Use code VSINPOD to get $10 free, no deposit required. And with up to 1,000x multipliers off just two picks, your hot takes can really pay off. Better Picks is live in 33 states. Download Better and use code VSINPOD today. That's VSINPOD. I keep saying it. You get a free roll anywhere. You want to take advantage of it. And Better is a great place to bet on player props. We do a ton of player props on this show. Player props have been a huge part of my success this season and something that I have dove into way more than ever this year. I've, you know, got all sorts of tools to help me out with that. And I think that, you know, getting on the Better app would be a really good idea if you're a fan of this podcast, because we're only going to do more player props moving forward. But let's recap the best bets for tonight. My Wednesday plays are Darius Garland over 27.5 points and assists at -120 against the Bulls. I'm also taking the Grizzlies at +7.5 at -108 versus the Timberwolves. You know, very low key night tonight, only two games, but tomorrow is an absolutely loaded slate, and that is because of the NBA Cup stuff. They did have four games planned for tonight, but they had to change it because of the teams they met in the finals last night. You know, the schedules had to be changed to, you know, account for some of these teams that played extra games in Vegas. But tomorrow night will be a little bit better for those of us that are looking for bigger slates. So I would implore you to, you know, come back for the Thursday show of Hardwood Handicappers, but hopefully you jump on the two plays tonight, and hopefully we win tonight. Good luck with your best bets.